Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jason and John guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs. None of them include Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, certainly not Ryan Tannehill. What a weekend it was. Epic game to cap it off last night. Jason Fitz was glued to the TV like all of us over the weekend. He joins every Monday and he joins us now. Man, I mean, I know it becomes cliche and everything, but that really was an unbelievable. As bad as Wild Card Weekend was, the divisional round was equally amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was the best weekend of football I've ever seen. And, I mean, when you start talking about the first three games were all decided by the road team winning on a last-second field goal, that's the drama you're looking for. And when you get into the fourth game, it's an all-timer. Like, they're going to replay that game over and over and over again for best endings. Like, I feel bad for Bills fans who have just gone through generations of heartbreak in big games, because that one, and, you know, I say this not saying it lightly, that one's going to be like the Tuck Rule game. It's going to be replayed over and over. They're going to see it on best playoff endings. They're going to see it on wildest finishes. I mean, the number of things that we all sat there and said, I can't believe this is happening, like, 13 seconds is leaving Mahomes too much time. What the heck? I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, Jason, do you have one?
Oh, just to find, does that happen, Fitzy, if they squib kick it? I mean, are Bills fans feeling completely different if you take 3 to 5 seconds off with the squib kick and you know, not doing it? They're still there with the 13 seconds.
100%. I mean, yes, all day, every day. I was stunned they didn't squib kick it, yep. And I mean, I wasn't stunned to see that result, because both defenses were gassed. They had nothing left in the tank. And so I was surprised they didn't do it. I think it's a strategy error. And, you know, I think we saw plenty of those from Buffalo in their coverages and their calls towards the end of the game. It was really questionable to me.
All right. Tennessee Titans, most fraudulent performance by a one seed that we've ever seen.
I'll say this. Tannehill had a day to forget, right? And I was surprised because the Bengals, by the way, we came in saying this over and over and over again on Spain and Fitz. The Bengals were the worst team in the NFL this year defending play action passing. And on the very first play, what'd they do? Drop back, gave you a little play action, picked that thing right off. Like, it just, the second interception was a holy cow, how did that play get made? I don't fault that. But, man, I mean, Todd Downing is not a good offensive coordinator. I've died on that hill many times with you guys on the Nashville radio station. Their play calling is predictable. It was predictable, and we forgave it when there was no Derrick Henry, because we kept thinking, oh, it's just a means to an end. And instead, what you end up with is a quarterback that forced the ball in a game where the offense was predictable, and everybody's sitting there saying, what are you doing? This was a wasted year for the Titans to have that much talent and to go home. It's just Titans. My heart breaks for Titans fans also.
Yeah, I think Ryan Tannehill's three interceptions. I saw a stat that I think that's as many as the remaining quarterbacks this weekend had combined. No. So I think it's pretty obvious you're not going to be able to win a Super Bowl with him. He's not good enough, quite frankly. Decision making, play calling, whatever you want to say. I think Ryan Tannehill showed very clearly and plainly that he is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. That being said, what do you do if you're the Titans? You gave him a lot of money, and he's not good enough. So what do you do?
This is like where I hate to be the bearer of bad news because you know me, I'm a beacon of light. But start looking at the tweets of different reporters around Nashville that cover the team, and just start unfollowing the guys that are giving you a situation that doesn't have Tannehill as the quarterback next year. Because right. I'm telling you right now,
right.
the dead cap money on a trade, if they trade him, the dead cap money alone would be $28 million. It would be the highest ever for a dead cap. And for everybody that's saying, well, the Rams and the Lions worked out a trade where they gave up equity to get rid of Goff. That takes care of some of the contract you're paying right now, but nothing changes that dead cap number. So the fact is the Titans and Tannehill are stuck together for the next year no matter what. So this is where you got to be smart as an organization and look short-term and long-term. Like, you got to start looking at somebody that you can bring in, and I wouldn't fault the Titans at all for looking in a quarterback class where I don't think there's anything there. You guys know that. Like, yeah. There's not a franchise saver. But does that mean that, you know, you shouldn't maybe take a flyer on a quarterback at the bottom of the first or in the second round that maybe you can develop over the next couple of years? Because Tannehill and the Titans are stuck together, and I am 1,000% confident that Ryan Tannehill will be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans on the opening day of next season.
Yeah.
I that's not changing.
Yeah, I think it's also pretty obvious that not that it ended up costing much, but the Julio experiment was, I mean, that yielded absolutely nothing. I mean, he was never relevant. My idea, and it's kind of out there, but I would look into bringing in a guy like Marcus Mariota. That's what I would do if I was the Titans at this juncture. I think that's what they need, Fitz. They need Marcus.
You know what? The amazing thing is I spent a year on radio, and I'll never forget, in Nashville. I'll never forget my third day. We had like a coach that was helping us, and I was brand new to doing local radio particularly. And it was my third day, and he called and he said, "How'd you feel today?" And I said, "Man, I feel pretty good, but we have only talked about Marcus Mariota for 3 days. What are we talking about tomorrow?" And he's like, "Mariota." I mean, wasn't even a blink. Like, the Tennessee Titans fans had such a "I love the guy and I hate the product on the field" relationship with Mariota for a year and a half. Like, I can't imagine. Like, there's a part of me that kind of loves the idea because he is beloved in the city. But, my God, I mean, everybody has fallen in love with Marcus Mariota, which would mean that we're all forgetting that the dude's just not – like, what I've always heard on Mariota is that in practice, he is dreadfully inaccurate. So if that's the case, how are you going to come in and say, well, you know, he's a gamer. Trust me, he'll work it out during the game. Even though we haven't been able to practice a single concept because he can't complete on 7-on-7, like, he can't complete anything. Like, this Mariota thing is fascinating.
You know, I'm a known Aaron Rodgers hater as a Bears fan, so I'll hold my hand up on that. But you tell me, Fitzy. I was talking about this with Brad before the show. I didn't sense the sense of urgency that I saw from the other great quarterbacks this weekend, whether it was the young ones like Josh Allen or even Tom Brady, in terms of getting Tampa Bay back in the game. Stafford makes a big play late. I didn't see that sense of urgency from Aaron Rodgers. How much of that 13-10 loss is on him?
Well, I think you're right about the urgency. And, you know, I'll use this analogy. Like, we've all got that friend that, you know, maybe drinks, and then, like, There's the difference between he's had a couple of drinks and he's feeling fired up. That's Joe Burrow. Like, he's got that calm. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of drinks in me. I'll walk up to anybody and say anything, but he's still got an energy. And then you've got the guy that you look over and you're like, oh, man, is he okay? And that's more the energy we were getting out of Rodgers out of this one. I mean, and you're right. Like, that's indicative of who he's become as a person, though. Like, I mean, watch the interviews and then watch him on the field and tell me where the difference is. And I just think at some point that's one thing that we can say is authentic about the quarterbacks we're seeing. Watch Mahomes off the field, watch Mahomes on the field. You get an idea of who Mahomes is. I think it's time to admit, like, we have a really good idea of the urgency with which Aaron Rodgers operates day in and day out. So now you're sort of in this weird situation. And frankly, if I'm the Packers, like, you know, this is not easy, but also the Packers drafted Jordan Love for a reason. I realize we've all anointed Aaron Rodgers as the savior that's going to go out and fix a franchise, but if you're the Packers, and you're in the heart of trying to win Super Bowls, and you drafted Jordan Love, he's now had 2 years to hang out. If he's not ready next year, when will he be ready? Like, if I'm the Packers, I got to take a serious look at my front office and my organization overall. Not because Aaron Rodgers may leave, But you got to explain to me why Matt LaFleur and Gutekunst, like, explain to me why your quarterback you drafted isn't ready if he's still not ready. Two years is plenty of time.
We are, of course, talking to the leader of the Ryan Tannehill Fan Club, Jason Fitz, here on. Is that a fair assessment that you're still leading that?
Look, I am lifelong diehard risk averse at quarterback, and I always remind everybody that if you don't love Derek Carr, just ask yourself what Jamarcus Russell was like, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, mediocrity is better than the second layer of hell, which is suck. And
yes,
that's what a lot of fans forget.
Well, and look, here's the deal, Fitz. Titans fans would crawl over broken glass ass naked to have Derek Carr, just in case anybody was confused. There is no doubt Derek Carr wins that game, or at least doesn't lose it. He doesn't lose it in the way that Ryan Tannehill lost the game. Okay, on to other matters. We don't have Tom Brady anymore. He's gone. And look, they made a great comeback, and it almost was an all-time choke job by the Rams. But moving forward, and I know his numbers were amazing, is almost as good, if not as good or better than any stats he's had his entire career. What do you think the upshot is for Tom Brady? Do you think he can get back to a Super Bowl? People have gone broke betting against Tom Brady and counting him out. But did you see anything in these playoffs after those guys went down that sort of makes you think, hey, maybe, you know, the greatest days of TB12 are behind him?
I think at some point, you know, it's about getting the monkey off your back for so many people. And that's what I think we saw a little bit, like when Georgia beat Alabama for the Natty, when Buffalo, frankly, topples New England. You have this moment. I think the whole league yesterday got a you-can-survive-Tom-Brady moment. And I'll liken it as an 80s wrestling fan. Like, if you remember when we were a kid, Hulk Hogan was getting beat, and they'd put his arm up, and it'd fall to the ground once, and the second time it'd fall to the mat, third time just short of the mat, and he'd raise that hand up. That's what we're used to seeing Brady do. But yesterday, he raised that hand up, and then he got his butt kicked at the end. And that's a different – you see Hulk differently. I think we see Brady a little differently today simply because you realize that, man, it doesn't always work out his way. So there's a weird changing of the guard that's happening right now, y'all, because you could look – at the quarterback position in the AFC, and I'll include Burrow with the Allen and Mahomes, and I'll include Lamar Jackson, who wasn't healthy, so we forget how good a year he was having. Like, you go up and down the list, and how many quarterbacks are under the age of 30 in the AFC and are playing lights out. And then you look over at the NFC, and you see mostly guys that are in their upper 30s, early 40s. There's about to be a whole changing of the guard at the quarterback position, and that's not an easy thing to replace. I think the Brady Rodgers chapters could be, if they're not, they're no longer resulting in Super Bowls, at the very least, we have to acknowledge that we are at the end of those books and there is not a follow up coming. Like, this is watching the last Star Wars realize you're not getting another one. And in the meantime, the AFC's over here saying, don't worry, we got you for the next decade. The power is about to shift.
Are we spoiled? And maybe, I mean, I don't know that there's any other thing that was going to happen when you have that kind of football. I'm with you, it's best weekend of football ever in the NFL. Are we due for a letdown again next week with some of these games? Do you think they'll be closer? I mean, you got Bengals and Chiefs, and obviously Chiefs going to be a heavy favorite in that one. Rams, Niners, I mean, we saw that when it was close there at the end of the regular season, but you got to feel like the Rams are going to be the favorite there, obviously, and are. Could we have, you know, in terms of great games here, do you pick one of the two, or are these going to be pretty one-sided?
No, I think they're both going to be good. And you know, it's not that long ago the Bengals beat the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I have a hard time. The Bengals have youthful ignorance right now. And, you know, a buddy I worked with years ago said, like, in your 20s, the world should be a perfect place and you should believe in all good things, right? Like, there's just you don't get jaded till later in life. Well, the Bengals right now are so young at every position. Even Zach Taylor is young. That there's a swagger that comes with not necessarily feeling the heaviness of the moment. If you're the Chiefs, you're in your fourth straight AFC championship game, which gives you great experience, but there's also this incredible pressure that keeps rising. Are they getting enough out of Mahomes and all of these, like, is this their window because of the contracts and all of these weird conversations we have lead to pressure for the Chiefs. And I just don't think Joe Burrow at this point knows pressure. Like, it's just, it all sort of water off a duck's back. Same for Ja'Marr Chase. So I think, and frankly, the Bengals did it the way everybody says you're not supposed to. Like, their offensive line is garbage, and it doesn't matter. Like, you win in the trenches. No, you don't. Not if you're Cincinnati. So I have a hard time betting against the Bengals in anything. I think they keep it close. And then on the other side, we've seen great from Jimmy G. We've seen maddening from Jimmy G. But, y'all, we've seen great and maddening from Matt Stafford as well. And this San Francisco defense is playing lights out. So it becomes a question of who's going to make mistakes. Like, the Rams almost choked that game away because they got really conservative. And when they got conservative, they flat out couldn't get it done on the ground. I think San Francisco is in for a treat in this matchup because you're not going to be able to run on them any easier than you did on the Bucs. So I think both games are close. The one is going to be all about explosive plays. The other is going to be all about which quarterback makes mistakes against really good defenses.
I'm with you on the Bengals, and I liked your phrase, that sort of youthful ignorance. We see some of that with the Grizzlies. They don't know any better. There's that. I mean, literally when Bane's getting under LeBron's skin talking, they don't know any better, right? And that's sort of why they're so ahead. But back to that Bengals thing, you keep letting him get sacked 9 times. It's malpractice in terms of as an organization not to protect a gold mine like Joe Burrow is. That's my only thing. You're right, Fitzy. For him to keep getting back up and throw, it's fantastic. It's special. But if he keeps getting sacked like that, he's not going to get back up one of these few times. We saw it last season. Like, that's
yeah,
it's
well,
crazy.
And how many times did all of us, if you inject truth serum, how many times did we all cringe in that Titans game?
Yep.
Watching guys fall at his knees thinking, man,
exactly,
he's going to blow another ACL. And, like, it's amazing how quickly he's come back from it. And Cincinnati is talented at the under the age of 25 at skill positions in a way literally we've never seen in the NFL. Doesn't matter if it gets quarterback murdered. They've got
That's
to
right.
figure out the offensive line. And they're obviously, as an organization, not particularly good at scouting it, signing it, or figuring it out. So that becomes a real, real issue for them.
Yeah. Hey, Fitz, last thing to put you on the spot. Davante Adams, Raider or not?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think the salary cap situation for the Packers makes life really difficult.
Yep.
So right now I lean yes, but the one thing, if I'm the Packers, I'm going to do whatever I have to franchise him, which means you're going to have to give up a first and a third, and you're going to have to pay him the top five at his position.
That's tough.
Worth it, though, if you're the Raiders. I think the question for the Raiders comes down to, is Derek Carr still the starting quarterback?
Right.
And if he is, then yeah, I think Davante Adams, you could be looking at an offense next year in Vegas that's Derek Carr throwing to Davante Adams, Hunter Renfro,
Fresno
Darren
State,
Waller,
baby.
And off to Josh Jacobs.
That's exciting.
That's how you take on Kansas City, and that's how you sell tickets. So I think yes.
Especially with Aaron Rodgers in Denver, you know what I mean? Like, you got to keep up. Do you think if Davante Adams is not a Packer, he's a Raider? Do you think it's one of those, like, it's down to those two, you think?
Yeah, 100%, because the Raiders want him and he wants to, like, the relations. I was talking to my buddy Harry Douglas, and Harry played for the Titans and the Falcons for years. Harry has trained a bunch of times with Devontae, and he's the one that told me a couple of months ago, he's like, it is real. The friendship, the love between Davante and Derek Carr is a genuine, like, they are
best friends,
and they want to play together.
Let's go.
Either Carr's going to end up in Green Bay, or Davante, don't sleep on that, or Davante ends up in Vegas.
Wow. That will be fascinating. The last time I talked a wide receiver into existence for the Raiders was Antonio Brown. I think this one would go differently and much better, if it happened. Hey, Fitz, man. Yeah, exactly. Appreciate your time, as always, brother. Thank you.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
Yep, he is. Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday here on the show. That's interesting. I mean, I think if you're the Packers, bro.
Carr to Green Bay, come on.
Well, they got to do something. It ain't going to be Jordan Love, is it?
That would represent, you know, an admittance of failure already.
Right.
That I'm not sure that they're
ready to say yet. Yeah. I mean,
Seems like it'd be more of a Band-Aid guy to try to push Jordan than you're going to bring in Derek Carr, who would be your starter.
Now, they need
to admit the mistake from what I've seen of Jordan Love.
Yes.
I doubt that front office is ready to do that.
I don't know. Yeah, you're probably right.
I had not thought of Carr in Green Bay.
You probably bring in like a Wiley, like a Tyrod Taylor type.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like somebody like that who can push him and maybe, you know, if he's better, whatever. but if I'm Green Bay and Aaron walks, I'm not paying Davante Adams. Like, that makes zero sense.
But you walk because Green Bay did something wrong this year to you?
He's a weird guy.
You know what
man.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom walked. Tom walked, so I get it. We've seen it. But
what
would be the – you're closer than ever – with the squad that you're with.
You got to get out of the NFC, man, because the 49ers own you. You got to get the hell out.
They certainly do own him.
That was a hell of a loss for Green Bay.
I cannot believe they lost that game.
In the frozen tundra.
I mean, it wasn't even like Garoppolo was doing anything.
I know. He wasn't
special
great.
Teams touchdowns.
Yeah. No, it was a three-phase loss for sure. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.